ball spark.
You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Friday morning out there, western and northwestern Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports. Back in studio today, right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Friday ahead of the Independence Day holiday. One of the best, one of my favorite holidays for sure of the year for multiple reasons. What it means, and then also what you get to do. You know, the Thanksgiving holiday is probably my favorite because of the food, but this one's right behind it. You get to jump on the grill, smoke something all day long, all kinds of different fun stuff for Independence Day. Fireworks. Jared obviously has bought his. Ready to roll. Just a fun time. I love Independence Day. So I hope everybody, you know, it looks like we're going to have a wet one. So we don't have to worry about any burn bans or any of that that's normally associated with this. And it feels like a lot of times you got to check with the local authorities. Can we pop fireworks? Can we not? Everybody's got their fire hoses out or water hoses out ready to go in case of fire. Don't think we're going to have to worry about that this year with all the rain that's been going on around the area. So we'll talk about what we're going to do, what we're cooking. Started making a menu kind of last night, at least on the protein side of things. Figure out what to cook, when to cook it. So that'll be on the docket. We'll actually get to that today instead of skipping over it. The name, image, likeness stuff, we mentioned that with Jim yesterday. Yesterday was the opening of the Wild Wild West in college athletics. I think it's going to be cool to watch the creativity because, to me, I was thinking more, okay, so the big stars will get, you know, a deal from a car dealer or what have you. But I think it's going to be some of the others that are going to be the ones that profit off this the most with the TikToks and the social media. So, you know, how much that'll be cool to watch, I guess. How much is it going to affect recruiting? Are you going to use this as a tool? You know, is this going to be a, you know, the school being able to kind of have a focus on this? Is it more on the player? Lots of things coming on. Should Reggie Bush get his Heisman back? Should he have ever gotten it taken away in the first place? And then also, which former athletes would have made the most bank if this would have always been in existence? I want you to think about that. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. You can give us a call, shoot us a text. Which of those former athletes? Because for me, I think of the ones that have the bravado, the charisma to be able to pile up, you know, followers, but then also, you know, branding as well. Last night, Eastern Conference Game 5, Eastern Conference Finals Game 5, the Bucks, the others from the Bucks were better than the others from the Hawks, as both teams without their superstars, Giannis and Trey, didn't play. And, you know, not surprising, because it was at Milwaukee, their role players played better than the Hawks. So 3-2 Bucks with a chance to go to the finals coming up tomorrow night. Which matchup do you think is the best one? Which one do you want to see the most in the NBA Finals if you could have your pick? Well, Jared, we're back inside the friendly confines of the freezing KADS studio.
Yeah, boring.
Yes, it's not near as fun. Not near as loud in my ears this morning. Yep. That was fun yesterday. Thanks to everybody that kind of came out.
That was a blast.
And hung out with us out at Barber Dice and Ford. Yeah, it was a lot of fun having Jim on site. And you know, after it was over and he left, some of the people that maybe never had been around him or been, you know, when he was doing a show, his energy and his just the way he commands and owns the room, whether or not he's on air or off air, it's something. It's a sight to behold because
it's damn near fascinating.
It really, I mean, he,
like, how does he do that?
It's pretty wild.
So many people ask me, "How is he off air? How is he off air? Can we say how he is off air?
Yeah,
or should we just maintain his persona on air?
Yeah, no, that's the conundrum, I guess, that you would say.
All right, a little insider information. This is only for our Skinny on Sports listeners. This is privileged information. He is a fantastic guy off air.
Sure, he is. He's a nice. You know, he's got that. You know, it's almost, you remember, I can't remember which episode of The Last Dance it was, but, you know, the Bulls documentary, and Michael Jordan talked about how, you know, he felt like he had to bring it every single night because there was no way to tell which, you know, little kid or family that was going to be their only chance to see him play basketball. So he felt like he owed it to him. And I think, you know, Jim feels like, you know, he has that persona of Jim Traber.
Yeah.
And that's just the way he carries himself. But he's so much more than just the loud guy on the radio with the opinions. He's a genuinely super nice guy that made it a point to go around the room, meet everybody that was there without any prompting or whatever. He was out there, you know, meeting the people that listened or the folks that worked there.
Never acts annoyed if somebody comes up to him who wants to meet him. You know, that's me when I see somebody that is maybe a celebrity or a local celebrity or something. I'm like, yeah, I don't want to go bother him. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But he doesn't have that. He wants to meet everybody. And it's very, you know, and here's the deal. He does not have to go on with us every Monday.
No.
He absolutely, there's nothing holding him to do that. And he does it to help us out, and we are overly appreciative of this guy. So it was great to have him out here yesterday. It was just a blast. I wish we, and a lot of people said this too, you guys could have gone like 2 or 3 hours, man.
Easy.
Yeah.
Easy. Time constraints for him.
Sure.
To get back to his own show. But, it felt like we had just really got started talking when it was like, oh, darn, time to go home.
Yeah.
But, it was awesome. Thyanks to everybody coming out. Thanks to Barbara Dyson Ford for making that happen. It was
Do they hand out
a lot of fun.
Those awards that Barbara Dyson got, are those annual awards?
I think so, yes.
Okay, win it next year so we can do this again next year,
Yeah, there
right?
you go. That's right.
No pressure, Corbin. No pressure, David. Win this again next year.
What did he?
So we can have do this again every year.
So there's what 3,300.
Yeah,
10%.
Only like 10%.
10% win the President's Award, which that was their fifth. And then out of those 3,300 President's Awards, they chop that down another just 10% win the Ford Elite Customer Service Award, and that was their first time with that honor. And so, you know, everybody knows that. Things are hard to come by right now, parts or trucks or whatever. And I think that's a testament to that Barbara Dyson brand for 27 years out there to be able to not pivot away from selling cars, but to really be able to highlight the fantastic customer service that they've had for all these years.
They're going to have to build a trophy case.
Yeah, those plaques are pretty big.
They're going to have to build a trophy case. And
might have to have a trophy wall.
I don't think it's the... Obviously, it's not the first one, but it's not the last one either.
Yeah, that was cool. It was really
great
cool.
Great event. Like the weather held off just long enough.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was like I was went out there after we got done, and, you know, Nathan's like, hey, drive one of these cars back. I'm like, okay. And literally on the way back to the station, it started kind of sprinkling.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, it's perfect timing. No, it was a great day out there for sure. Last night, Eastern Conference Finals, Game 5, the Milwaukee Bucks defeated the Atlanta Hawks. Was it 113-102? Was that the final? 112-103.
I got it, yeah.
No, I'm sorry, 123-112.
I'm sorry.
I lost my mind. Anyway, 123-112 was the final score with the Bucks beating the Hawks. Bucks now own a 3-2 series lead over Atlanta. Neither star played, and so... I think we knew Giannis is out. The Trae Young call to be out of the game didn't come till later. And when both of the stars were out, I think the advantage obviously shifted to Milwaukee for one reason and one reason only. We've seen this throughout the history of the playoffs in the NBA, and that is role players play better at home than they do on the road. Game 5 was in Milwaukee, and their role players were fantastic. I don't think anybody saw 33, 7 rebounds and 4 blocks coming from Brook Lopez, but it happened. He had 33 on 14 of 18 shooting, 5 of 7 from the free throw line. The one thing he didn't do was make a 3, which he's really become a fantastic 3-point shooter for a big guy. But You know, we got 33 there. Middleton had 26, made half of his shots. Drew Holiday played probably his best game of the series. 25 points, 13 assists, and almost 50% shooting. And, you know, when the Hawks get mid-20s or more from four guys, Bobby Portis was another one. You know, they were always going to be hard to beat for Atlanta. Bogdanovich, it's a good sign, I think, if Trey comes back, if Atlanta can advance, that Bogdanovich looks healthier than he's been all series, getting kind of get back in the flow. He played great for two. That's the second straight game that he's really shot it from three. Let's see, he's, what, 13 of 30 in the last two nights from three-point range. It's just something they'll have to have to not only win this series, but even if they advance. Gallinari was good again. But just the role players are better for the Bucks.
Yeah, but the big question is, can they be better in Game 6?
Yeah, on the road.
On the road. Now it's Atlanta's turn to be good. Those role players at home. You know, all the storylines you just mentioned, now it's going to be, you know, turn the tables. Now it's going to be the Hawks' turn for their guys.
And they were
good,
great in Game 4.
Exactly. So I could see this being evened up. But I know, like you said yesterday in your report, typically the team that wins a tied series in Game 5 goes on to win this thing, what, 86?
83%.
83% chance. But this is a different animal with both the superstars out, and you're leaning on your role players, your bench players. And that's, you know, there's all those intangibles that we fail to look at or we just fail to remember is, you know, those guys do typically play better at home. It's a more comfortable environment for them. And so now I think the Hawks, I think they regroup and come back and make this thing seven games. The big question is who will play. You know, Trey's mm-hmm. always going to be day-to-day. I don't think it – and who was it? I think it was Chris Bosh who came out and said, we're done with Giannis. He should be shut down.
Why?
I don't know. I just saw a headline that said he thinks that we won't see him again this series or this season.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Since it was reported there was no structural damage?
Yeah, yeah. Look it up. I believe it was Chris Bosh who said that. He was like a guest analyst on one of the shows, one of the ESPN ones, I think, and it said the headline was Bosh says should not play again this season. I don't know if it's a further down the road thing, but man, you can't keep playing for next year,
right?
You know, this might be their only opportunity. I mean, my goodness, we as Oklahoma City Thunder fans know how hard it is to get to the finals. You cannot just say, well, just shut him down, he'll be fine, he can be back next year, and that's that. No, this, you got to take these opportunities. But again, back to the question is who's going to play. And you know, I'd like to think if Trey comes back and it's at home, then they have a better shot at evening this thing up. And the dream scenario is they both play for a Game 7.
Yeah, I think to your point about which star might or won't or will play, that game was important last night just in the sense that maybe it buys the team that won an extra couple of days. You know, if you're Milwaukee, maybe, you know, if you have any doubt whether or not Giannis can go in Game 6, you always kind of have Game 7 to fall back on. If you have a doubt, okay, well, that's okay. We'll give him an extra couple of days of rest. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Whereas Atlanta may not have that luxury with Trae Young. It does seem like or feel like that the injury to Trae Young is more less serious, I guess. You know, it's just a matter of a bone bruise healing. You know?
Yeah.
But it almost seems like it's...
I didn't know bruises or bones bruised.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard that phrase before, but it never occurred to me what it was, you know?
It's like a deep thigh bruise type thing. Maybe. It's like a deep bruise.
Yeah. But it doesn't seem like that injury would have any lingering effects or could lead to another injury the way maybe Giannis's is. And maybe that's what Chris Bosh's point is. Don't rush him because then maybe you really hurt him.
So what – looking this up, Chris Bosh was on with Rachel Nichols, I believe it was on – what's the show that they do, The Jump? And he's basically – I guess he had experienced a similar injury, hyperextended knee like this. And he said based on what he experienced, he just flat out said – he doesn't think that we'll see him the rest of this playoff, these playoffs.
Okay, so it's not a shouldn't, but it's just he just knows how it feels.
He just knows how it feels, and he's just sore you get. But Jim said it yesterday. You know, even as little as how many years ago was it? And I don't remember him experiencing this injury. Was it when he was with Toronto or Miami? I don't know. But that was, in the grand scheme of things, a long time ago. There could be different. You know, people come back from injuries. Everybody comes back from injuries differently, and then the way we treat injuries has been different short as 5-10 years ago. So what he experienced back then, I get it, but is totally different from what Giannis is experiencing right now. Plus, like I said, everybody deals with injuries differently on how they come back.
No doubt. And I think right now for Trey, it feels like more of a pain tolerance. How much can you stand because of what the injury is versus Giannis, maybe a little bit different than that, where you're worried. Sure, there's nothing, quote-unquote, structurally wrong, but is it weakened? Is it, you know, a little bit of what we saw with Kevin Durant in the finals 2 years ago. He didn't have an Achilles, but he had an injury that ended up leading to the, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So are you worried about that long-term for Giannis?
Right.
Feels like you are more than you are Trae Young. You know, for Trae, it's just a matter of it healing and how much pain can he handle to play.
And I said this the other day when I took over the show about Trey's injury. He's turned in his game. It's not so much just step back, hit the logo threes. You know, he's able to penetrate, drive, and have that little teardrop. I wonder if that affects it, if he's jumping off that foot.
Man, you could see when he came back in game 3 after he hurt it, he was clearly hobbled.
See, that's
and he didn't have the burst. So then he was basically relegated to stand in the corner, or when he came and got the ball, all he could shoot was logo threes because he couldn't get by Drew Holiday right. The way he had throughout the first 2 games of the series.
He gets comfortable enough where he can come back and start that again and do that. Sure, he feels good going through the game doing it, but by the end of the game, I mean, I bet you that foot's going to be throbbing and he's going to have to ice it down or do whatever kind of treatments they do on it to try to get it back to the way it felt before the game started. And that's the question. You know, how much does it affect Trey's ability? We're not questioning can he go. I think he can go. It's just affecting his ability to do what he does best.
Yeah, and like my point on Monday after game 3 was I understand you have to let him give it a go after he hurts himself and he comes back, but you're up 7 with 8 minutes to play. And you know what? There's a lot to be said for Chris Middleton winning that game and the way that he just exploded in the fourth quarter. But after 2 or 3 possessions, to me it was clear Trae Young wasn't right. So what do you do? You know, if you're Nate McMillan, you feel an obligation to try it. You owe it to Trae Young to see if he can go. But once he can't, do you have the courage to pull him? He didn't at the end of game 3 in the fourth quarter when I think he was almost a detriment to the team just because he couldn't move. I mean, he couldn't do what Trae Young does. Mm-hmm. And at that point, you're just a sitting duck on defense because you can't move. You can't guard anybody. And then offensively, everything is so involved when he's on the floor with him that's just kind of the way it goes. But then when he's not right, the offense stagnates too. And that's why you give up the 25-6 run to finish the game and lose.
Right.
And so I think that's an interesting dynamic if he tries to play and can't really go. How long is the leash for Nate McMillan? Or do you just feel like, okay, we're going down swinging with our best guy, even though he's not 100%. It's just it's a dynamic that it's really puts Nate McMillan in a tough spot if Trey wants to play but really can't.
Yeah.
Especially because you have to win the game or your season's done, you know. And so I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens tomorrow night with those two guys. Which series do you want to see in the finals?
Assuming everybody's healthy or just
I mean,
assuming we get at least one of these guys back,
I think
maybe both.
I guess the answer is, with that regard, the one with the healthy superstar. But let's just say they're both going to be able to play. Which one do you want to see?
That's a fantastically hard question for me. Part of me wants to say I want to see Atlanta Phoenix because I want to see that small ball in action. The other part of me is I want to see Giannis in Milwaukee. The Giannis, still, I know, two-time MVP, but still feels in a weird way new to the league against Chris Paul. You know what I mean? So I would have to lean, as far as competitive series goes, I would go Milwaukee Phoenix. Yeah. Get the more bang for our buck? Sure, that's what we want to see. But the fan in me, you know, the local guy, Trae Young, you'd like to see him get to a finals, and who knows? But I don't think it would be a competitive series. I think Phoenix would be the heavy favorites in that one.
I do, too. I'm exactly the same way. I think, maybe you get to see a couple of incredible Trae Young performances, but I think you're looking at five games in the NBA final. You know what I mean? I just don't see it for Atlanta.
I agree.
Whereas Milwaukee, and I think you kind of, for Thunder fans, I think you kind of get a little bit of a kinship with Milwaukee because you see the plight that they have is very similar to Oklahoma City.
Oh, yeah. I mean, small market.
Small market.
I get it.
They were able to hold on to their super-duper star. But that's what you're going to see, though, build around the way that they've had to construct that team is one guy and then quality guys, but maybe not super team. And last night, that won out, but it was also against a team that was in the similar situation. You know, and you see how important it is to have those others, but also at the same time, you're thinking the good Lord, this didn't happen in the Nets series, to try to have to combat Durant and Harden without Giannis.
Oh, boy.
It wouldn't have gone well.
No.
But I'm with you. I think it's the Bucks. The Bucks Sun seems like the best one. I bet you the networks. You know what we're not hearing much about right now from NBA media guy?
What's that?
Not a lot of ratings talk. Wonder why. You know, because early in the playoffs, when the ratings were up, I don't know. We're not hearing about it. Lead me to believe nobody's watching. Because early in the playoffs, all you heard was, hey, ratings are up 30% over last year. Well, of course. From the bubble.
Well, yeah. We've talked about that. Yeah.
But now you're not hearing it.
Well, let's.
Where did it go?
Maybe it's the other way around.
But
maybe it's up and they don't want people to know, wait a minute, we don't have LeBron on the screen. We don't have Kevin Durant. We don't have our superstars on the screen. And these ratings are still up.
I don't think so.
If we put that out there, we're telling America, these superstars, you guys, it's maybe it's America telling those guys, we're tired of these guys. We're tired of these super teams like we've talked about. Especially tired of LaChina.
Yeah, I don't think so. Or we'd be hearing about it. Trust me. Because they want you to think that everybody loves the NBA and none of this stuff has mattered. Uh-oh.
What-oh?
Game 5 of the Western Conference Finals. 5.7 million. Up 20% from last year. But that was the bubble.
That was the bubble.
So way down.
Yeah. I guess somewhat breaking sports news.
Go ahead.
So, OU, you know, they about once a year, they like to stripe the stadium.
Yeah.
Have you seen this?
Nope.
They've announced their striped stadium game. September 11th. Versus Western Carolina.
Oh, how cool.
More than likely the pay-per-view game, right? But they're not striping it vertically. It's horizontally.
Oh, cool.
Which I think is going to be a lot harder to accomplish.
Yeah. But it'll look
like
the flag.
You're telling people if you're in rows this, this, and this, wear red. And if you're in rows this, this, and this, wear white. So they're putting that out now here on July 2nd to
get everybody start looking at your tickets.
Get everyone looking at your tickets. And they're having a special on tickets for the 4th of July weekend to do this. It just came across my feed here about 25 minutes ago. It was posted by the university.
Last thing on the Eastern Conference Finals, 16%, so 84% win after winning Game 5, win the series. So the Hawks are 16% to win in the history to make their first final since 1961.
They looked at home and away.
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter?
They just lump it all in.
Okay.
Half of the teams that lose Game 5 lose Game 6 also, and the series is over. Hawks are 3-for-20 in this situation. So they're 15%.
Well, that's not a good.
The last time they did it, though, was in round 1 in 2010. You know who they beat?
2010.
Came back from a 3-2 deficit.
Milwaukee.
The Milwaukee Bucks.
That's funny. Expanding on this news of OU and striping the stadium. I love the idea of striping the stadium. I love that all when all universities do this, OU, I know OSU has done it a time or two. It's really cool. It's turned into an annual thing for OU. Every year they pick one game and do this. Special date, obviously, September 11th to do this. It's going to be a very patriotic type game. And like I said before we went to break, they're going to do it horizontally, not vertically, where you just take each section, you know what section you're sitting in, and you wear either crimson or cream. Now they're going to do it horizontally, and there's a link on their website. As Aaron comes back in here, I'm really breaking this down, Aaron, on how they're going to. This is going to be extremely hard to pull off, in my opinion. I mean, they're breaking it down of rows 1 through 9, crimson. These are in sections 1 through 50. So you have to really get your ticket early, compare it to this chart, and hope you don't look like a fool and wear the wrong shirt to wherever you're supposed to sit. But if they pull it off, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, when they pan out of the camera, you're going to see a pretty cool scene. But it's a pretty ambitious goal for OU to do this. But with all the fans that are wanting to come back to all sports in general, you know, you always hear the naysayers go, oh, I'm tired of this. I just want to wear whatever shirt I want to wear. I think we're like, I don't care. I'll wear the shirt and I'll sit in that seat and be a part of a large crowd again. But this is probably the earliest I've ever seen OU announce when they're going to stripe a stadium.
Yeah, I always think about it. Of course, it's going to be the 20th anniversary of 9/11.
Right.
That day, that Saturday of college football. And I always think about, as from a sports standpoint, after that happened, one of the coolest things was at A&M. You remember that?
Yes.
Where the stands literally looked like the flag.
Yes.
And how they were able to pull that off. You know, this isn't quite that, but similar to commemorate that horrible day, you know, and in the country's history. But yeah, I mean, here's the deal. If you have tickets and you're wanting to sell them, do you make sure that somebody's got a white shirt? No, not selling them. We're white. We're in the white section. You're in the red. You've got a red shirt on. I don't think so.
In this case, it's row. We're in the right white
row.
Yeah,
the row. Yep.
I know most OU fans have crimson shirts as opposed to white shirts. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, I've tried to even out my wardrobe almost every other year. If I'm buying a polo. Actually, it's like every 2 years. But I mean, how about you? Do you have a lot of more crimson than cream in your closet?
Not anymore. I just have one shirt. One lucky shirt.
Oh, really? You stick with one lucky shirt on game day, huh?
And then don't wear it during the playoffs.
Well, yeah, it hasn't been lucky then.
I used to have a white one, but it just white. I would play golf, and it's just so hard to keep it not looking dingy.
I know. That's the problem with that.
So,
but
that's pretty cool. All right, name, image, likeness, all that stuff started yesterday. There's already some, you know, De'Aaron King was kind of the first one that we saw ink of what I guess you'd term a major deal at $20K for his. Who was it? Was it Bo Nix, the quarterback at Auburn, signed with Milo's Sweet Tea, which is pretty, you know, that's pretty
that's
cool.
That's real Southern, yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, that's kind of where I was thinking of this going is, you know, a car dealer or a, you know, one of the major corporations or what have you with the highest end stars. But I don't think that's how this is going to go now. Because of the creativity of all these young people with social media and the followings that they've been able to amass, I think it's going to go that way. I mean, sure, there's going to be certain, you know, like I mentioned yesterday, we were out at Barbara Dyson. They're OSU folks, and, you know, what if they want to give, you know, Spencer Sanders some bucks to have the logo on his polo or what? You know, whatever it is. I mean, that's going to happen to the more, you know, well-known guys or gals in whatever sport it is in college. But the interesting part of this that I never even really thought of, and it kind of came up yesterday with the twins from Fresno State, good-looking girls that you know, have these huge social media followings. And I think that's where some of these companies are going to be able, maybe the lesser known companies build a higher known brand with some of these lesser known to the mainstream sports fan, but are really known on these social media sites.
And, you know, while we're talking about OU, did you see the stuff they're putting out yesterday?
Oh, yeah. It's annoying as hell on my Twitter feed. I don't care how many social media followers the 8th Sprinter has. But guess what? You found out yesterday.
Yeah. Well, what they're doing is trying to get ahead of this, letting other potential recruits know you come here, your social media presence could be elevated. And then by virtue of that, you got a chance to make some money, like you said, off the social media stuff.
So how much do you think that the colleges themselves are going to be involved with brokering these deals?
Big part.
Why? They weren't with Derek King. I mean, but not to the detriment, right?
Right.
I mean, it doesn't have to go through them, right?
No, it doesn't have to.
Okay, well that's fine. I mean, maybe
it doesn't have to go through the college, but I think it would be, again, it's a recruiting angles. If you can go to a King, listen, we can help you get your brand going.
Sure,
we can help you. You don't have to do it by yourself. We have partnered with these people to help our athletes get their brand going to make you some money.
What's that called? It's already out there. Cameo, I think, is the company that a lot of these colleges are using.
I heard it yesterday. It's clever. It's out of Nebraska. I forget what it's called. But yes, I know. But OU's already partnered with somebody.
Yeah, I think a bunch of the schools already have.
Yes.
And so maybe that's a way. I mean, you know, it keeps on being brought up. Okay, how do we regulate it? What do you mean regulate it? You don't.
No, there's no regulation.
There's no regulation to this. There's no limit to this. I mean, I know we were making fun of the NCAA with the Boz a few weeks ago about the, you know, national communists against athletes. But that would be kind of where they would screw this up if you're the NCAA.
Yeah.
You know, you allowed it because it was going to happen anyway. And now
you want to cap it.
I mean, that's not the way it's going to work. It's not the way it should work. Because here's the truth. There shouldn't be a limit on if you're going to let them make money, then there shouldn't be a limit on it. You know, you're not using university funds for this.
Right.
It's what they're worth. And just because it's the star quarterback doesn't mean that the, you know, second baseman on the softball team can't capitalize just as much or more because of the creativity and the ingenuity that they have in their own minds.
Right.
And so I think, you know, everyone's already kind of calling this the worst thing ever for college athletics. I mean, I don't get that angle. I really don't.
I wouldn't go that far. I think there are the unknown is scary, so people would immediately just make those hyperbole comments to say this is the worst thing ever and it's going to be the end of this. And we were at fault with that too. We kind of touched on that, but I think that it's just going to change the way that kids are going to be recruited to schools, like we said. I think it's a good thing that kids are allowed to make money off their image and likeness and name. That's fine. I'm okay with that. I mentioned it yesterday. It has the potential. There's going to be those kids, those players that are on the cusp of, well, should I leave early? And mainly basketball is why I kind of lean towards this one, and some football. You know, I can stay in college and make more money with my endorsement deal here at this local dealership, or I can be one of the last picks in the 7th round. You know, does he have to give up that endorsement? I don't know. When he moves on to the pros, I don't think he'd have to.
No.
But I think there is that potential of players going, you know, there's those guys that were great college and gals that were great college athletes, and it didn't transfer over to the pro level. It just, for whatever reason, and they think, man, I could stay here and make more money and have another year of the college experience. So my fear, though, if we're talking about fears, is how much does – now, this is the coach in me. I'm not a coach, but this is the fan in me. How much does it distract?
Oh, yeah. That's – I mean,
you know,
as
like,
far
I'm
as
sorry
the,
I'm late for practice, coach. I had a signing event at
– That's right. And that's the – to me, the on-field ramifications a lot of this are nil. Outside of, okay, how much extra work gets left on the table because – these athletes are worry or having a you know a TikTok chat or whatever
right.
it is.
Right.
You know, yeah, autograph signings. I know somebody somebody in Iowa is going to be out at the fireworks deal this week.
Yeah.
You know, this weekend signing and making money. So how much effort and how much attention goes into branding versus practice. Yeah, or the
and
you know,
a coach
the extra,
can say, listen,
extra
you
film
don't have
study.
A brand unless you perform.
Well,
and
but that's not
yeah.
right.
No,
but that's
I know
not
that.
Right because of the social media
way,
part.
They got to find a way.
Well, that's on the – and this is going to be, I think, where the recruiting angle is the most, is being able to try to figure out the landmines for what you're talking about. You know, you've got the superstar – high school big shot quarterback, how much do they like football or how much do they like themselves?
Oh yeah,
you know,
yeah,
that's I think that's another layer of,
I mean, the clock hadn't even
trying to figure
struck
it out.
Midnight and Spencer Rattler already had a brand and he's already advertising himself. See what I'm saying?
Oh,
that,
yeah.
That gave me pause a little bit, and I just being an OU fan, and as much as we follow, it gave me pause. Like, man, you're already got a brand, and you're already marketing yourself. I certainly hope you understand what the end goal here is. I mean, for us, is to win a national title, but is that his end goal? That's what should make a lot of fans nervous.
Oh, listen, I can already hear it.
Oh, as soon as something bad happens.
I can all the first incompletion of the year. Oh, my God. If Rattler would have been practicing this summer instead of working on his brand, he would have never thrown any incompletions all year long. This is ridiculous. What is Lincoln Riley doing letting these kids do this? Rah, rah, rah.
Yeah, and you know.
I mean, you can hear it. It's just another excuse. It's another excuse for fans to use.
Here's a good question: What limit can they promote? You know, can they promote alcoholic beverages?
Well, I would doubt that. I would doubt you could do much gambling. And I know I heard yesterday, like gentlemen's clubs are off the table.
Well, okay, that makes sense.
But I mean, yeah, I
would. But you know, I mean, if the kid's 21, can he go and promote a bar?
Yeah, I don't know. That's I don't know if anybody knows.
Come drink at O'Connell's before the big game.
Yeah, join Al and Jim and me at O'Connell's.
Yeah, exactly. So there, you know, I think that's just again scary stuff. But this is stuff that has to, you know, everything new, like I said, is scary, but it works itself out. The question is what the end result's going to look like.
Yeah, whatever you do, OU athlete. Yeah. Whatever you do, if you're allowed to go do like the bar thing or whatever, steer clear of Pickleman's.
Can we, as Skinny on Sports, sponsor a local athlete?
Well,
can we sponsor the Swazoo quarterback?
Listen, I was reading a little deal today about this is dipping down into the high school ranks too.
Oh well, I didn't think about
like,
that.
Wow, holy cow, what is going on? Should Reggie Bush get his Heisman back? Well, first off, do you believe Reggie Bush ever should have had his Heisman stripped?
Well, remind me why he had it stripped.
Because of the stuff that came out, yeah.
Yeah, he accepted some benefits.
Mm-hmm. And it was kind of the phrasing was it wasn't the standard of Heisman winners or whatever.
Well, it's the Heisman Trust. It's their decision. It's you
Meanwhile,
know,
a murderer still had his.
Oh, that's a good point. This is true.
I mean, with all this coming out, so now anything that he did is legal now. I mean, and I get, listen, there's rules, da 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 da. But
it's hard to put the toothpaste back in the bottle.
Yeah, but it's, I mean,
I get it. I he has an argument.
How
he
it's ever taken from him, I still don't understand.
Yeah.
Because what do we, I mean, it's just like the argument of, well, now, oh, you didn't lose that Orange Bowl. Yeah, they did. I saw it with my own eyes. They were bleeding by the time it was over. And he was
right.
A huge part of that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's something that I think is going to be pretty interesting moving forward. And then finally, and we've already kind of got some answers to this one, with this name, image, likeness, who are some former athletes that it would absolutely have made bank on it with
the,
this
the
deal.
The obvious answer is...
If it was always in...
The
in,
obvious answer is Tebow.
Yes, he's number one on my list. Numero uno.
Number one.
Tim Tebow.
Number one. A name's up there. I mean, football's fresh, but the Boz.
Number two on my list was just on the text line as well.
The Boz?
No.
Johnny
Football.
Manziel. Yeah.
Johnny Football makes bank. Because here's
he
the thing.
He was making bank.
He was doing it anyway.
He was doing
but
it
you,
anyway.
But, you know, you think about the personality. The Boz is on my list, too. Deion Sanders is on my list.
Yeah.
Of guys that in college had that swag.
You think Baker would have made, made a little coin.
Baker's
yeah.
right here.
Yeah.
How about this one? Not nearly as well known as the names that we've said. And I wonder if she was not mainstream enough or if enough people knew about her. And back then, of course, there wasn't the social media that there would be now. And let's be honest, this is just the truth. Her looks would have went a long ways for this stuff.
I think I know where you're going.
Jenny Finch.
Yeah.
I think Jenny Finch would have made a mint.
Oh, yeah.
An absolute mint.
Yeah.
Because who wouldn't have wanted to see, you know, like in the athletic gear and the sports bra world and all that stuff,
oh, yeah,
you know, her kind of being the Barbie doll face of all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Trying to think of went out, you know, you went to a different sport. I'm trying to think of some other sports.
Here's one, Shaq.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but Shaq seemed to really come into his marketing self after college, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
Man, I know there's tons out there. I'm trying to go basketball like you just did. Would someone like Christian Laettner?
Man,
think about that.
See, the basketball I went would be like the Fab Five.
Yeah.
You know, the Fab Five was
but
a cultural hit.
We mentioned Johnny Football because everybody at A&M loved him. Everybody outside of A&M couldn't stand the guy. But he would have made a lot of money. Christian Laettner, kind of the same fold, right?
Oh,
same
yeah.
mold.
And here's another advantage to Laettner. He was in your face for 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, that's where a Baker or a Tebow gets a higher on my list.
Like a Reddick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My gosh. Talk about somebody people hated. I mean, Laettner started all of that, and Reddick had it in his face, too.
Yeah.
You know, Bo Jackson, I've seen him mention.
Boy. Yeah.
But you know, like you know Peyton Manning, because he was there forever. But did he have the swag, the personality?
In college,
then?
He just seemed kind of this goofy kid.
He really did. You know,
who could play football, kind of like the quarterback at Miami during their heyday. He wore the baggy sleeves. Ken. Just looked like a goofy kid when he took his helmet off, but he could play.
Oh,
he could
Ken
play.
Dorsey.
Ken Dorsey. You know what I mean? That's mm-hmm. what kind of Peyton Manning reminded me of. Or Ken Dorsey reminded me of Peyton Manning. Although obviously Peyton Manning had a wonderful NFL career. But yeah, but back then. Now, let me throw this at you. Everything we've mentioned, all those players that we mentioned that could have benefited from this, are from some pretty big schools. Could you see some of those superstars at smaller schools making money like this?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Who?
Oh yeah. Randy Moss. I mean, he went to Marshall.
Lamar Jackson,
absolutely.
What about Sanders?
Who?
Sanders.
What Sanders? Barry Sanders.
Barry Sanders.
You know, his name was brought up. Personality-wise, really?
So it's going to have to be this healthy mix of personality.
I just don't.
Your performance on the
field.
I mean,
he was off the charts great.
Yeah.
Maybe the greatest college football player ever. But did he have any sort of personality to be able to sell it? Or do you need to? I mean, maybe we're overrating this, and it's just simply your ability to be known. and get followers.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about that and what we're doing to, you know, here's how many people watch.
Yeah.
To be able to try to sell what we're doing. And so maybe that's all it is. Just looking at an Instagram number. And with Barry Sanders, you know that'd be high because he was totally recognizable. He won the Heisman Trophy. Everybody knew who he was,
mm-hmm.
and especially in the college football world. So maybe it's just that number is all that matters. Oh, my gosh, you've got 8.7 million followers. Bam, here's a level of money that you will give you, no matter if you have personality or not. I don't know. That's what's going to be interesting to see how this evolves.
Now, what school is already well-equipped for this?
All of them. Every one of them. I mean, they all are. They've all had these social media departments in
right.
recruiting. I mean, you see it over and over and over. So, I mean, they're all ready for it. Just a matter of how they choose to use it
yeah.
and how much they want to get involved. Because I would think the more you got involved, the more chance that you could get yourself down a slippery slope of NCAA infraction type stuff. If you just wash your hands of it, don't have anything to do with us.
Yeah.
We didn't do it. But at the same time, I think you want to be involved for the recruiting like you talked about. To be able to sell that to those athletes coming out of high school of, hey, with our help, this guy got, boom, that much money. So it's pretty, it's a lot to unpack. And there's a lot, and I don't think we'll know the answer until we kind of see it.
Right.
You know, because there's just so many tentacles of it.
Now, there's been a lot of evolution of stuff happening throughout the many decades of college football. Mm-hmm. And what's been the constant? The Blue Bloods have always been at
yeah.
the top. And I don't think that changes.
I don't know. Just because people make money, I don't know that that changes anything on the field. Of course, this weekend, Independence Day weekend. And that means family, fun, and barbecue. And good news, Jared.
What's that?
The White House just tweeted that the cost of your 4th of July barbecue is down from last year.
Oh, okay.
16 cents.
Oh, my goodness.
Here's the question. Are they going to let us have 4th of July barbecues this year?
Probably not. They'll, or they want us to have tofu dogs.
So that's good news. 16 cent savings. I think I'm going to go out and buy a boat. Anyhow, what are you going to do? What's your plans?
Nothing. Stay at home. Not really. We're not going anywhere. Just staying home. And we went and bought the fireworks last night. Of course, the girls are ready to already pop them tonight and tomorrow. So now we got to wait till 4th of July, although I'm sure there'll be a lot of festivities happening on Saturday. But, yeah, as far as Sunday's concerned, we're just hanging out. Hopefully the rain holds off. We'll get the water toys out for the girls. Nothing major. Nothing too major.
You got anything on the menu?
No.
Oh, no.
I wanted to.
Well, why not? Did you get told not to?
I'm having this debate last night about what we're going to have. And I started with, you know, the big stuff. Nah. Well, okay, how about hot dogs and hamburgers? Nah, we're just going to do some sandwiches and we'll have... I know, Aaron. I'm hoping my Aaron of grievance here might change the mind.
What in the world?
I know. The rationale was... we have a lot of food in the house we need to use before we go on this vacation.
Oh, yeah.
Don't want to get a bunch of stuff that's just going to sit. So, it's...
But you're going to cook the rack of ribs.
I'm about to just do it on my
own. Uh-oh. Ooh. I don't think that's a good idea, Jared.
You know why I think it is a good idea?
Maybe, you know, there is that...
Because we are celebrating independence, and I got the freedom... to do what I want.
Whoa.
And I think I just might make myself a rack of ribs. God bless America.
Listen, you do you, bro. And I can't wait for Monday to see how that went. I mean, I can't wait.
Where's how about you? How about you? What do you got going on?
A little golf tomorrow over the firecracker tournament at Sayre.
Oh, it's a great annual tradition.
It is. It's fun. I wasn't able to swing the double dip because of Sunday.
Now, it's not flooded over there, is it?
To play here. It's wet.
I know it's prone to.
It's wet. We played last night. The scramble did go off. What a disappointment that was.
For you personally?
Oh, my gosh, yes. We had probably the best team you could ever draw, or I will ever draw, at the Sarah scrambled fifth week carryover. And we won by one, but you got to win by two. A couple of putts left out there. Oh, sad deal. We're going to do that, and then I've got some meat thawing. I have some beef ribs that have needed to be cooked for a while that I'm going to throw on. Maybe a brisket. Maybe some thinking about going around town today, later on today, to a couple of the different meat markets we've had open up lately.
Ah.
Check out something for tonight. I keep on hearing about these Cajun ribeyes at one of the places. Cajun spiced ribeyes.
Oh, my goodness. Maybe that's what I'll do.
Green onion sausage. I've personally had the jalapeno blue cheese sausage. I think they make those in burgers now, too.
Is that a certain place that we did a little grand opening for?
One of them is. One okay. of them isn't, yeah. That blue cheese stuff is there.
I might have to join you on that one, that little escapade. Yeah, while they're eating their sandwiches and I'm cooking one of these Cajun ribeyes.
This will be Sunday. Well, Cajun ribeyes maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow. But the majority of the cooking, I think, is going to happen on Sunday because over there at Sayre, some of the coaches on Wyatt's baseball team have agreed to sit on the dunk tank.
Ah, so the parents get to take out some frustration on them?
I mean, here's what I told one of them last night. I said, you know, I had a couple of things. Because, you know, I think of the dunk tank. I think of the fair and the clown just dogging you.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I was thinking, all right, well, if you know, because I'm a super nice guy, but I also can pull out the needle and get pretty vicious if I want to. So maybe if those guys don't want to do it, I'll just take over the mic for them and talk trash to the kids. It wouldn't bother me at all. By the way, I was asked last night.
Hey, Johnny, this was our nickname for you when you struck out. This is what old coach said you look like when you're out there in left field.
I was thinking more, we need a pitcher, not a belly itcher. Hey, by the way, I was asked last night, are you in for fantasy football again?
Absolutely.
All right, there you go. There's your answer.
Yeah, you get my money again.
I said you probably would.
I will be watching baseball, especially my Rangers, winners of 7 of last 10.
Adolis Garcia.
You know who else has come on hot?
Joey Gallo.
Mr. Trade Bait himself.
Yeah, don't get too used to him, Jared.
Exactly.
He'll be going at the deadline. All right, everybody, have a wonderful Independence Day weekend. We'll be back on Monday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered.